Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've been in Matthew chapter 13 for our gospel lesson for three straight weeks. In that chapter, Jesus told seven parables. It goes a parable, next parable, next parable, next parable. This morning, you heard three of them. Two of them were short, but it literally was parables 5, 6, and 7 of this chapter of a bunch of parables. Now, Jesus told about 30 parables. The reason I say about is people argue which text is or isn't a parable, but about 30 parables where Jesus uses earthly imagery to explain beautiful spiritual and heavenly truths. Now, he tells all these parables. I want to get to the parable. I'm going to talk about one of the parables, but before we get there, I wanted to notice at the end of our gospel lesson, there's really a delightful, charming little thing that goes on. Jesus has told them seven parables, and in verse 51, he says to the disciples, "Have you understood all these things?" Now, before we read their answer, every time I read it, I think of the exact same thing, and that is, I'm a dad. My mind goes to long drives in the car visiting family members and two little boys in the back of the car. And after you drive for many hours, mom and dad always say, "Were you guys sleeping in the car?" And what do they say? They always say no. Does everybody else see? They could have slept for the last 3 hours. If they wake up and you say, "Have you guys been sleeping?" They say no. I don't know why we sometimes are, we want to tell people in authority, I guess, the answer that we think they want to hear. So think of this. When Jesus says, "Have you understood all these things?" What do they say? Yes. Just that boldly, right? They don't say, "Well, maybe, you know, we got some of it. Did you understand this?" They say, yes. Smile as you read that verse. That's a great exchange between the two of them. And I do want us to get that Jesus is a gentle, loving Savior, because he does not rebuke them. He receives that, and I want to come back to that later, but just notice that. Have you understood it? They say, "Oh, yeah, we got it." So I want to look today at just one parable, the parable of the hidden treasure. It is a single verse. I want us to notice how much can Jesus say in one verse. Here's the verse. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." That one single little verse, I want us to know that there is sort of a traditional way of reading that verse, and I want to disagree with that way. But I do want us to hear what is often said. If you read a study Bible, it probably says this. I listened to several sermons online to see what they said, and not all, but most said the traditional view. You can buy a Bible commentary, pull it off the shelf and read it, and they're going to say this. A man finds a valued treasure in a field, and he gives up everything he has to buy that field so that he can receive that treasure. And this is what most commentators say, that the kingdom of heaven is salvation, and salvation is so valuable that when you and I discover what it is, we would give up anything to get it. That's what is often said. In other words, they're saying that the man who finds the treasure, that man is you and I. And the reason it says the treasure was hidden in a field is many people do not see the value of salvation. Many people do not see the value of faith in Christ, and so they run right by it. But they're saying that when you get what salvation really is, and this is the phrasing that often gets said, whatever you have to give up, it's worth it. Have you heard that translation of the parable? I think that's exactly backwards. I want to talk about how do we know this. One thing is I want to look at other parables by way of comparison and to get the way that Jesus usually sets up the parables. Matthew 13, same chapter, several verses ago, "A sower went out to sow seed. And some of the seed fell among rocky soil and some among thorns and some in good soil." Who was the sower? Jesus. He also said, a sower went out to sow good seed, and overnight an enemy came in and sowed weeds. Who was that man? Jesus. Well, the enemy is Satan. The man who sowed was Jesus. There's a parable where Jesus says, Luke 15, a man had two sons. The younger one, the prodigal, comes in and says, Lord, I want you to give me everything that's mine, and he leaves home. Who is that man? God or Jesus? Luke 19, a nobleman goes on a journey. He gathers three of his servants and he gives one of them 10 talents, another 10 talents, another 10 talents. He goes away, he comes back and asks for an accounting. Who's the nobleman? God. Matthew chapter 25, a man goes on a journey. This time he entrusts talents to servants. One time, one servant receives 5 talents, another receives 2, another receives 1. Who's the man? God. You see the trend, right? Matthew chapter 20, a master of a house hired workers to work in his vineyard, some in the early morning, some in the late morning, some in the early afternoon, some in the late afternoon. Who's the master of the house? God. Luke 14, a man gave a great banquet. He invited many people to the banquet. Who's the man? God. Every parable, who's the man? God. Listen again. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found. Who's the man? God. Jesus is the man. Jesus is the man who finds a treasure and buys it. So here's the question. What's the treasure? You are. It's a wonderful little parable when you read it that way, isn't it? The parable is not saying you need to buy heaven. The parable is not saying you need to give stuff up for God to love you. It's not saying that. It's saying that God sees you as his treasure. That Christ buys you. How? It says he goes and sells all that he has. What has Christ given up? His life. By the way, before the cross, his place in heaven, right? Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God in heaven with glory and power and leaves that behind to come into the smelly, stinky world we live in, to be hated and rejected by people, to be crucified, to die. And he says, I bought you. You're his treasure. And he has given up everything. That changes it a bit, right? You're the treasure. You're not buying the treasure. You are the treasure. Now, why would he do this? It's actually in the parable. This parable is one verse. All this stuff Jesus jams in here. Listen to this. He goes and sells all that he has. The words before that are what? In his joy. In his joy. The Lord Jesus values you in such a way that he gives up his very life and self. And he's glad to do it. Do you hear that? He's glad to do it. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Matthew 13, joy. Hebrews 12, joy. Why did Christ do it? His joy. His joy is to save you. His joy is to love you. Now, this parable, here's the tricky part for the disciples. Jesus is telling this before the cross, the real answer. Did they understand this? The answer is, I'm sure they didn't. This, like many other parts of the Bible, I think they will understand after the resurrection, right? They hear it now. It goes right past them. He hasn't done it yet. But when he does that, I think they go back and say, he talked about this very thing. Now, does the Bible talk that way in other places that you are God's treasure? Funny enough, today's Old Testament lesson that Frank just read a few moments ago, did you hear it? Way back in Deuteronomy chapter 7, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be what? A people for his treasured possession. The reason the parable says that the treasure is hidden in the field is the world doesn't regularly recognize who you actually are. But God does. And he has loved you, and he has said, you are my treasure. By the way, the very next parable says the same thing again. A merchant went out looking for fine pearls. You are the pearl of great price in God's eyes. Deuteronomy 7, you are to me a treasured possession. I love Deuteronomy 7, by the way. He says, by the way, Israel, did I love you because you're the most numerous people? Did I love you because Israel is the most powerful nation on earth? No. I chose to love you and keep my covenant. Exodus 19, verse 5. If you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Does God call you his treasure? Yeah, over and over again. You are precious to the Lord. You are precious to the Lord. Psalm 135, verse 4. For the Lord has chosen Jacob to be his own, Israel to be his treasured possession. The reason I wanted to explain this one parable, this one verse, this way, is here's the challenge. The challenge for us is to see things the way God does. Theologians love the big fancy word, worldview. I like it, it's a good word. It literally means how you see stuff, though. It's not complicated, the worldview. So how do we see stuff? The challenge is that the world is regularly talking you down. Right? The world is regularly devaluing you. And so we have to hear time and again, I am God's treasure. How do I know this? Christ has laid down his life for me. As a pastor, I talk to a lot of people about the things going on, and this is something I've noticed. There's always details, but this is a commonplace. A lot of people put up with things in their lives they should not. A lot of times people receive things from the people around them that they should not tolerate. And here's the most common reason is they assume they do not deserve better. I notice that a lot. People assume I don't deserve better because the Lord has said you're not worth it. Or the world has said that you're not worth it. And the Lord has said the opposite. He has said, you are my treasure. So we could say, did Jesus preach to a cognitive goal? I think he did. He preached to a cognitive goal to get into our heads and our minds, you're the treasure of the Lord. You're precious in his sight. You're his beloved child. Say that to yourself this week. This week will bring new and different challenges, and you have to continue to remind yourself, a man found a treasure hidden in a field, and he gave up everything to buy it, and I am that treasure. You have to say to yourself, I am a child of God. I am a son of a king. I'm the daughter of a king. I'm the treasured possession of my God. The cross of Christ shows me who I am. Here's the question. Do you understand all these things? The answer is, well, yes. Maybe the better answer is, Lord, help me understand it more forcefully. Amen. We stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.